Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations. Have you ever wondered what is God's plan for your life as you seek to step forward every day in your mission in serving Jesus? Maybe you've even had some questions and some concerns, like where is it that God wants me to go? What is it that God wants me to do? And what is it that God wants me to see? But these questions aren't just for people involved in missions or ministry work. These questions are for all of us as followers of Jesus. Recently, I've been studying John chapter 4 that I believe directly answers these questions and instructs us in the next steps as we seek to walk every day in the mission of Christ. John chapter 4 is the account of Jesus talking to the woman at the well in Samaria and revealing to her and to the people in that city of Sychar that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But when you dig deeper into the story of John chapter 4, running underneath like a backbone is the unveiling of the mission of Jesus. It's like a ministry snapshot in Jesus' life and ministry that in just one chapter encompasses the very essence, the purpose of who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and also what Jesus wants his disciples, his followers, even down to us today, what he wants us to do. You see, the first step that we need to follow in the mission of Jesus is to go where Jesus wants us to go. But before we look further, we need to first understand the backdrop to this account that the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't like each other too much. In fact, they had great contempt for one another. The Jews considered the Samaritans to be half-breeds and unclean people because the Samaritans had compromised their Jewish heritage through intermarriage with pagans. They had also contorted the Holy Scriptures, accepting only the first five books of Moses, which, of course, they imposed their own changes. And then the big one that the Jews could not get over was that the Samaritans rejected the Jewish temple, corrupting the very heart and soul of the Jewish faith and Jewish center of worship. In the eyes of the Jews, these Samaritans were mixed up and messed up people who certainly didn't measure up to the Jews' high and holy standards of the law. The Jews' contempt for the Samaritans was so great that when a Jewish person, for example, from southern Judea, wanted to travel to the northern part of Israel in the region of Galilee, they refused to travel through Samaria, which of course is the shortest distance. But instead, the Jews would take a circular route and would rather cross over the Jordan River twice to go around Samaria, also they wouldn't put one Jewish footprint on Samaritan soil. But what does John chapter 4, verse 4 say that Jesus did when he traveled up north? It says very clearly that Jesus, when he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, that Jesus, he must needs go through Samaria. I love that. Jesus wasn't going to mince any words with his disciples about which direction to go. Instead, he was going to walk straight through into the very heart of Samaria and sit down at Jacob's well in Sychar at noon at the height and the heat of the day. This is because Jesus knew exactly where he needed to go and exactly whom he needed to see, because Jesus knew there was someone there he needed to talk with who needed to know who he is. You know, we need to take a lesson from our Lord Jesus. You see, the first step in following in the mission of Jesus is to go where Jesus wants us to go. For example, do you have messy areas in your life or people in your life that you're personally avoiding because maybe you don't think they measure up? Jesus doesn't want us as his people to just keep walking around them. Jesus wants us out of love and passion for them and for our Lord and Savior to go and walk straight in towards them so they would know Jesus. Or maybe it's not just necessary particular people that you have a problem with. Maybe there are just particular areas in your town or in your community that are like no-go there lands. So whatever is your Samaritan region, whether it be people, places, or lands, God wants you in Jesus' name to go straight in towards them proclaiming Jesus' name. One of the main ministries of CEF in reaching children for Christ in our public elementary schools that we have during the school year is our after-school Good News Club ministry. A Good News Club, I tell people, is like a Sunday school in the public school held immediately after school. The after-school Good News Club is simply an open-door opportunity to go directly into places and enter into people's lives, into the lives of the children and lives of their families in your community whose paths otherwise you may never cross. Just this past Easter, on Thursday before Good Friday, we held a brand new club in Peoria, Illinois, and we had 113 children plus their parents, and also several of the public school teachers also came as well. These 113 children plus others in just this one club heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is nothing less than an open door to tell people about Jesus. There are children all throughout our state and across our land who have broken lives and broken hearts and broken homes. There are children who already, they know that they're mixed up, messed up, and don't measure up. They don't need anyone to tell them that, but they do need someone to go and tell them of Jesus and of God's great love for them. There are others also who, like the Samaritan woman at first, who do not yet see their need for Jesus, and they need to be confronted with their sin by God's word and the falling short of the holiness of God. But in either case, this is where the gospel of God's grace enters in. You see, the first step to the good news of the gospel that we all must foresee is that we are all messed up. We're all broken people with broken lives, and there is not one of us here who measures up to the high and holy standard of God and His laws because we've all sinned. I love the way that my favorite theologian, R.C. Sproul, said it like this. He said, "We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's simply who we are and what we do. It's our job description. It's our born-in and sin-filled bent." But once we share the bad news of people's need for Christ, then we can share the good news and have an open door opportunity to go straight in and share with them the gospel of God's grace of who Jesus is and why Jesus came. The children and the people in your community, they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, very God, who came in the flesh and who is in Himself the very gift of God. And it's only through Jesus and Jesus alone that you can have your sins forgiven and have those rivers of living water welling up within unto abundant and eternal life, all through faith in Christ alone. So the first question that I simply want to ask you is this: are you willing to go where Jesus wants you to go? And what about your church? By its very definition, the church is the walking, talking body of the Lord Jesus Christ, being His hands and His feet in this world for others to know Him. Is your church willing to go where Jesus wants your church to go, including even those Samaritan areas in your community? I love what someone once shared with me, that one of their favorite quotes that they keep on the front door of their refrigerator wall that says this: if you ask the Lord to guide your footsteps, you need to be willing to move your feet. You see, the first step in following the mission of Jesus is to move those feet, is to go where Jesus wants us to go. But the second step in following the mission of Jesus is to do what God wants you to do. The text of John chapter 4 makes it clear that when Jesus came to the well and had this conversation with the Samaritan woman, that the disciples, they were not around because they had gone into the city to buy food. Jesus was on mission, but the disciples were on a food mission. Jesus had people and eternity on His heart, but the disciples, they had food and temporal needs on their brain. When the disciples came back, they saw Jesus talking to the woman, but then the next thing that the disciples saw was the woman leave her valued water pot behind and go into the city because she was so excited to tell others that she had met the Christ, the Messiah. But the disciples still had no response. The text indicates that the disciples expressed no thought or concern for this woman's spiritual need. Instead, after she left, the disciples, the only thing that they could think about was to press Jesus to eat food. But Jesus responded by saying in verse 32, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." But the disciples still didn't get it. They thought someone else had maybe slipped Jesus some food because they knew He had to be hungry. Then Jesus said to them even more clearly in verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Jesus was trying to press His point home to the disciples who had obviously missed the point. Jesus was saying that life isn't about food or drink or accumulating or doing this or that. Jesus' mission was a laser beam focus on doing the Father's will and to finish the work that the Father had sent Him to do. Our Lord Jesus Christ modeled this throughout His whole earthly ministry from beginning to end. It was like bookends for Him. For example, what were the first recorded words of Jesus in Scripture that we see when He was 12 years old? What did He say? "I must be about my Father's business." And then to the end of the bookend of Christ's life at the cross, before He was arrested, what did Jesus pray 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And then the last snapshot of Jesus' life when He was on the cross, what did He cry? "It is finished." This was Jesus' passion. This was Jesus' food. Doing the Father's will and to finish His work was more important than anything in Jesus' life, including satisfying His own hunger. But this should just not be the passion and the food of Jesus. It should be our passion and our food as His disciples today. You know, I do not pretend to know what doing what God wants you to do looks like for you. Because what God has for me to do and what you to do in serving Him, it's not the same. But what I do know is that every day we need to be putting on our mission of Jesus mindset. Otherwise, we will miss following and doing Jesus's mission in our lives. A few weeks ago, I received a text asking me from someone at my church what Sundays I was available for doing children's church teaching. And then someone else asked me another time when I was available to come back to do the special education class to do teaching there. Well, this month of May is just, for me, is already just so packed. And I was thinking about declining both of these offers because I'm just so busy. But then a couple weeks ago at church, I had two different children and also an adult that came up and asked me at different times almost basically the same question, coming one right after another. And they said this, they said, "Katrina, when are you going to come back and teach us again?" Well, how could I ignore that? You know, I do not pretend to have an inroad to know exactly what God wants me to do and when He wants me to do it. But I do know this, that when God goes out of the way to get my attention and to nudge my heart or bring several people, including precious children, to come up and ask me the same question, I need to pay attention. And so do we all. Otherwise, we will miss out on the mission of Jesus. And like the disciples, we'll completely miss the point. See, God wants us to go where Jesus wants us to go. He wants us to do what God wants us to do. And finally, the third step in following the mission of Jesus is to see what Jesus wants us to see. This is where Jesus said to His disciples these famous missionary conference words found in verse 35. Perhaps Christ even pointed to the field of people as they were coming out from the town to see Jesus. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Jesus says two things here about the harvest. He says the harvest is now and the harvest is ready. Jesus also had two words of admonishment to say to His disciples, lift up your eyes and look. You see, the disciples of Jesus had the same problem that we have today. We're so busy focusing on our needs, our wants, and our desires that we fail to lift up our eyes and look and see a harvest field all around us of people and of children who need to know Christ. You know, we could talk all day long here about the state of our state, the state of our nation, the state of the world, and those are all good and important discussions to have. But the most important state is the state of the soul. And what could be more important than the state of the souls of our children? The harvest of reaching these precious souls, these precious people, and these precious children for Christ is not someday when, it is this day now. The scripture says, now's a time, now's a day of salvation. The mission of Jesus then must be our mission as His disciples now today. Jesus wants us to follow in His steps by going where He wants us to go, doing what He wants us to do, and seeing what He wants us to see. However, there's one more thing that we must see here that Jesus said to His disciples to help them see a fuller picture of the harvest and the mission of Jesus that He was calling His disciples to enter into. Jesus makes it clear that following the footsteps of the mission of Jesus is not the same for everyone, for one sows and another reaps. But the beauty is that even though the mission of the sower and the reaper are not the same, they both share in the same eternal rewards, and they both share in the same eternal joy, rejoicing together. So at the end of the day, and at the end of our harvest field of labor here on earth, what will be the results as we go where Jesus wants us to go, do what God wants us to do, and to see what Jesus wants us to see? It's gathering fruit unto eternal life, the precious souls of people and of the children, and have great rejoicing in the Lord together for all eternity. And together, along with all the redeemed peoples of all the ages, together we proclaim, "Now we believe, for we have heard Him and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we seek to follow each day in the steps of the mission of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.